So let us begin and open the Bible and turn over to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs were written by Solomon, the son of David, who was the wisest man who ever lived, except for Jesus Christ, because God gave him wisdom. He asked God for wisdom, and God gave it. And God said that anybody who asks God for wisdom will receive it. And that's in the book of James, chapter 1. Providing you have faith, and God will give you the wisdom you ask for and need. So let's turn to Proverbs 30. And near the beginning of the book of Proverbs, Solomon states that you need to seek for wisdom, as if it were hidden treasure. Hidden treasure. And there's a chapter in the book of Job, chapter 28, that compares wisdom to hidden gold and gems and jewels that are buried under the ground. And human beings spend a lot of time and effort digging in the ground for hidden treasure, and diamonds and gold and precious metals. And when they find it, they rejoice. And that chapter says that wisdom is like the hidden treasure that's buried under the ground. And you have to dig it out. And Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, spent many, many years digging the truth of God out of the Bible. He said, "You students are very fortunate, because you can learn in 4 years what it took me 40 years to dig out of the Bible, one doctrine at a time. And we can hand it to you on a silver platter here at Ambassador College." When I went to Ambassador College in the early 1970s, Mr. Armstrong said that one of the things he wanted to do was to write a book about all of the truth that God had shown him. And I put in my notes from his Bible study, "Mr. Armstrong wants to write a book that covers everything." And in 1978, Mr. Armstrong came out with the book called The Incredible Human Potential. And I thought, well, this is the book that Mr. Armstrong wanted to write. But then later, in 1985, he came out with another book, Mystery of the Ages, that contained pretty much the sum total of everything that he had learned from God through the Bible. And Mr. Armstrong wanted to present this book to the students and to the whole church, and to anybody who would want to partake of that and study the book and learn the truth in it. Now, here in Proverbs chapter 30, Solomon writes about a man named Agur, A-G-U-R, the son of Jacob. Now, who is this man, Agur, the son of Jacob? Well, maybe it's Solomon himself, using another name for himself. He says in verse 2, "And these words of Agur, who apparently is a prophet, surely I am more brutish than any man," he starts off by saying, "and I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor do I have the knowledge of the holy." Agur represents the whole human race. And the human race is cut off from God. God cast Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. And he put two powerful angels with flaming swords to keep the way, or to guard the way, of the tree of life. To keep God's word safe. The tree of life represents the knowledge that comes from God. And God will not compromise in his beliefs and his thinking. It says in Proverbs chapter 8 that wisdom was with God from the beginning. And it stays with God. God is the source of wisdom. He has lived forever. And when he made mankind, he wanted to teach man wisdom. Now, don't you want to learn wisdom? Don't you want to learn the mind of God? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that God gives the people who are led by His Holy Spirit, in other words, the true members of the true church, the mind of God, the deep things of God, because the Spirit of God knows what's in God's mind. And when God gives us His Holy Spirit, it imparts the thoughts of God to us. If you could take a piece of your mind, if you could reach your hand inside your head and grab some of your spirit and take it out and put it in somebody else, then they would have a piece of your mind. And God can do that. He takes His spirit and He puts it into us so that we can have the mind of God too. Now, Mr. Armstrong said when he wrote The Mystery of the Ages that the Bible had been closed up and sealed all through human history until the time of the end. It says that in Daniel chapter 12. And Mr. Armstrong, by the Spirit of God, put the pieces of the Bible together like a jigsaw puzzle. God was helping him. You know, the Bible says, here a little, there a little. Mr. Armstrong said a doctrine is like a house. You look at the front of the house, and then you go to one side, and then you go to the back of the house, and then you go to the other side. You walk all around it, and then you can start to understand the whole house. You don't understand it if you only see one side of it. And then you go inside of the house, and you see it on the inside. And you look at all these sides of the house, and it takes that before you can really understand the house. And a doctrine is like a house. And Mr. Armstrong was given the gift of understanding the Bible. And he came to understand all of the major doctrines of the Bible. Now, the human race just doesn't have that wisdom or that understanding. Jesus said in John chapter 17, God's word is truth. And he asked God to sanctify God's people by the truth. It's the truth of God that makes you special, that sets you apart. It's the most important thing. You know, wisdom is the most important thing, it says in the book of Proverbs. And it's more precious than money or gold or silver or anything else you can think of. The wisdom of God is the most important thing. And here in Proverbs chapter 30, Agur the prophet says, he doesn't have wisdom. He didn't have it. And that represents the whole human race. People lack wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. And you've got to search it out like hidden treasure. And if you're fortunate enough to have a teacher like Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong who can hand it to you on a silver platter, and then you have to study it and learn it and keep it and don't depart from it. It's the most important thing. In verse 4, who has ascended up into heaven or descended? In other words, to learn the mind of God, to have God as your teacher, to teach you. Who has done that? Well, one answer is in John 3, verse 13. We won't turn there, but it says that no man has ascended up to heaven except Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He was one of the two members of the Godhead. He was one with God. It says at the beginning of the book of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And He came down to the earth. He was born as a human baby. He grew up, and when He was about 30 years of age, He started His ministry of 3.5 years, and He taught His disciples, who became the apostles. And Jesus and the apostles are the foundation of the Church of God, along with the Old Testament prophets who wrote part of the Bible and who were inspired by God also. Now, the Bible is the Word of God, and the Word of God is the foundation of knowledge. So verse 4 says, who has ascended up to heaven or descended? to bring us the Word of God. Well, it comes down from God, and we can learn it through the Bible and through God's holy teachers that He has provided for the church. And that would include the apostles and those who were taught by the apostles and who can bring us the Word of God. And the Bible says that those who teach what the apostles taught must not change the doctrines. They must hold to it and keep them safe and teach faithfully the Word of God as they were taught by the apostles. And the apostles were taught directly by Jesus Christ. We could have a whole Bible study on that. Now, down in verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Now look at that. Every word of God is pure. That, my friends, is the true religion. The true religion is to understand the Word of God and to keep it. So verse 5 is about the true religion. And there's only one true God and one true religion. And it's the religion that Jesus taught and the apostles taught. And every other religion on the face of the earth is false. So look at verse 6. Do not add to His words, lest He reprove you and you be found to be a liar. Don't add to the Word of God. That is the false religion. And don't take away from it either. You know, the very last verses in the book of Revelation tell you not to add to the things of the Bible and not to take away from them. And you'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 4 also. Don't add to what God gives you and don't take away from it. Turn over to Matthew 15. Keep your hand in Proverbs chapter 30. But over in Matthew chapter 15 now, here's where the Pharisees asked Jesus why He didn't keep their traditions. And Jesus said to them, why do you change the Word of God by your traditions? Now let's read that. Matthew chapter 15 here. Then the Pharisees came to Jesus, and they said, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? And down in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Then He named one of God's commandments and commented on that. And down in verse 6, Jesus said, thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. You've nullified the commandment of God. And Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders of His day. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you. He said, this people, they draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see, it's like Agur the prophet said, don't add to the Word of God and don't take away from it. Down in verse 13, Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. And every religion on the face of the earth that is not God's religion will be removed from the earth in due time. But your job and mine is to hold on to God's truth, even though the world is full of false religions, false teachers. Satan has deceived the whole world. In verse 14, Jesus said, leave them alone, these false teachers. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. Now that's what Jesus teaches you about all the religions on the face of the earth. Mr. Armstrong wrote in The Mystery of the Ages, why are most Spaniards Catholic? And most people from the Middle East are Muslim. And most English are Protestant. Most French are Catholic. Over in Japan and China, they have the Eastern religions and in India, Buddhism and Confucianism, Taoism, and others. Why? Well, it's the sheep instinct, and people just believe what other people around them believe. If you were born into a particular religion, you believe what you were taught. Your mind was programmed that way. But it takes a miracle from God for a person to unlearn what they were taught from their youth, because they were programmed that way. It's 10 times harder to unlearn error than it is to learn God's truth from your earliest youth. So if you were fortunate enough to have parents or a teacher like Mr. Herbert Armstrong to be able to teach you from your earliest youth, then your mind is programmed the right way. If you were born onto a deserted island with only your father and mother, and all you had was the Bible, and you just read the Bible, and that would program your mind, you would come to God's truth. You'd be very fortunate. Now also turn over to Mark chapter 7, which is a parallel account to what we just read in Matthew. Mark chapter 7, verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders?" Down in verse 6, "Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" See, the commandments of men. Now God is up in heaven, and truth comes from God. And God is the author of the Bible. But human beings come up with their own ideas. They give commandments of men. They change what God says. And that's what's wrong in the earth. Human teachers, human leaders, even religious leaders, change what comes down from God. So people hear the wrong things. And that's how Satan has deceived the whole world. Revelation 12, verse 9. Verse 8, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the traditions of men." Then he names some of them. Verse 9, he said to them, "Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own traditions." Verse 13, "Making the word of God of no effect through your traditions." Now we won't turn over to Galatians, but Paul says there that he was brought up according to the tradition of the elders. But in Philippians chapter 3, he said that when he was called by God, he gave up all of those traditions. He counted them as worthless so that he could follow the word of God and the teachings of Jesus, the truth of God. And then he became an apostle of Jesus Christ because Jesus taught him specially and specifically. And later on, he told his son in the faith, Timothy, to hold on to what he was taught by the Apostle Paul and to continue teaching those things and to be faithful to the Word of God. And he said, because the time will come when false teachers would come along and change everything around. But he told Timothy to hold on to the Word of God and to teach it. And that's what God's true ministers ought to do and have to do. And if they don't, then they're not representing God properly. So let us go back to Proverbs 30 and let's review what Agur said. Verse 5, "Every word of God is pure." Verse 6, "Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar." As Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, and he would rebuke all religions on the face of the earth and their leaders and teachers for changing the word of God and making it of no effect. Why does mainstream Christianity keep the wrong day of the week? Who changed it and why? They should keep the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. It starts at Friday evening sunset and goes to Saturday evening sunset. That's the holy Sabbath day. Who changed it? And why? And who changed God's annual holy days to pagan holidays? And why? Satan is behind all of that, and it's kind of a long story how that happened. But it happened, and Revelation 12:9 tells you that Satan deceives the whole world. But the Bible also says that the true church of God will not be stamped out. And the true church of God holds on to the Word of God. And to change the Word of God is like what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve chose the tree of knowledge of good mixed with evil. That's what comes from the mind of Satan, lies and deceptions. Satan is the father of lies. And when Adam and Eve chose to listen to Satan and to let him teach them, and they rejected the Word of God, God cast them out of the Garden of Eden and closed the door to the tree of life to protect the way of the tree of life and the knowledge that comes from God. So that's why the whole world is deceived, but the true church of God has the knowledge that comes from God. And as I said, if anybody changes that, then it's like Adam and Eve being cast out of the Garden of Eden. They become cut off from God. But the true church holds on to the Word of God. And again, you have to work at it and dig it out of the Bible, as Mr. Armstrong did. And let those who have already dug it out of the Bible teach you, because they help you to understand it. And you need to compare what is taught to you with the Bible. You need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth of God that comes from Jesus Christ and comes originally from God the Father. And then Agur says in verse 7, "Two things I have asked of you. Please don't deny them to me before I die." And the first thing, verse 8, is, "Remove far from me falsehood and lies." See, please reprogram my mind according to your holy word. Jesus said in John 17:17, God's word is truth. And please sanctify the church of God by the truth. And Jesus asked God to be with those whom the apostles would teach, so that the word of God could be carried on and passed on. And Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The church would not die out, and the truth of God would be preserved. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 that there must be no divisions among you, and you must all speak the same thing. That means to have the Word of God and hold on to it. All right, so Agur says, "Remove from me falsehood and lies." And then the second thing that he asked for, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." Now you can read in Matthew 6 verse 33 that we should seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else that we need will be added to us. Food, clothing, shelter, protection. You read that in Matthew 6 beginning in verse 19 and down to verse 34. And Jesus talks about that for a good long portion of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, don't put money ahead of God. Most people do that. And Mr. Armstrong did that at the first part of his life. For about the first third of his life, he sought the false values. And then God corrected him. And in the middle third of his life, God gave Mr. Armstrong poverty during the prime of life. But in the last third of Mr. Armstrong's life, God added great riches to him. And he blessed Ambassador College, and it became very prosperous. But by that time, Mr. Armstrong had learned not to put money ahead of God. You put God first, and God will bless you for that. And Mr. Armstrong tried to teach the students to seek the true values, not the false values. Don't put wealth and status and pride and vanity and wanting to be viewed as important by other people that you think are important. Mr. Armstrong did that in the early part of his life. But he learned not to fear men, but to fear God. And the Bible says that. In fact, right before this chapter 30, in Proverbs 29, verse 25, it says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe." See, don't fear people. The Bible says that their breath is in their nostrils. They're going to die. They're just flowers in the grass. They're just human beings who have flesh and blood, a temporary physiochemical existence. Mr. Armstrong said that God has life with a capital L, but human beings just have life with a lowercase L, a small letter L. Human beings are creatures that God made. Fear God, not man. And let the Word of God be absorbed into your mind and your heart, and live by it, and keep it, and love it, and cherish it, and don't throw it away. So Eger says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." You know, Jesus said that a rich man will hardly enter into the kingdom of God because he trusts in his riches. Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Peter asked Jesus, "Well, who then can be saved?" And Jesus said, "Well, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible." And you're a very fortunate person indeed if God has taught you to seek the true values. And as Eger said, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me," verse 9, "lest I be full," like Laodicea in the book of Revelation. They had all kinds of riches, and they became lukewarm, and Jesus said he needed to correct them and rebuke them. "I rebuke and chasten everyone whom I love, so that you can be in the kingdom of God." And Jesus rebuked and chastened Mr. Armstrong by giving him 28 years of poverty out of the very prime of life, so that he would unlearn the false values and acquire the mind of God, and to put God first. You know, God and Jesus are rich. They own everything. They own the whole universe. They have eternal life. All power, everything that you'd want, they have it. But they have the right kind of mind. Now, they don't want you to turn out like Satan. You know that one third of the angels rebelled against God, and their minds are corrupted now. And they go around trying to corrupt all human beings. But God wants to instill in you his kind of mind. Read the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers," and so on. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," he said you should be like a poor man in your attitude, because the rich people will hardly enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus said poor in spirit. Now, as I said, God is rich. He owns everything. God made Abraham rich. God made Solomon rich. God can give you all kinds of riches. It's okay to be rich if it doesn't go to your head, if it doesn't ruin your mind. Now, even Solomon at the end of his life went off track. And God did rebuke and chasten Solomon, the very Solomon who wrote this book of Proverbs. And you can read about that in the Bible. But verse 9, "Lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who needs the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God in vain." So Eger asked God for two things. "Remove vanity and falsehood and lies from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Keep me on the right track." Now that's the words of Eger the prophet as recorded in Proverbs 30, verses 1 through 9. And they're very good words. And God allowed them to be put in the Bible. And Solomon wrote this book of Proverbs.